From its beginning, the charismatic movement has raised doctrinal questions that deserve a serious response. Yet many evangelicals have been dangerously silent. Why? Is refusing to publicly address these questions really the loving thing to do? Consider that on Grace to You. You found Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Bill Wright, filling in for Carl Miller. Being silent, saying nothing, certainly has its place in polite society. One time or another, we've all followed the old maxim that if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. But let me ask you, is being nice more important than lovingly speaking hard, potentially offensive truth? Over the past few decades, evangelicals have been told that questioning the doctrine of a major influential segment of the professing church, the charismatic movement, is divisive, unloving, and uncharitable. But the questions are too important, and the biblical mandate to address and correct the error is too clear to stay silent. An honest scrutiny of the charismatic movement, that's what took place at Grace Community Church in Southern California, when John MacArthur and Grace to You hosted the Strange Fire Conference last month. John was joined by speakers including R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, and Phil Johnson. Nearly 4,000 people attended. This week on Grace to You, we're bringing highlights from the conference, including today's installment, the second half of the Q&A we began yesterday, featuring John MacArthur, Nathan Busnitz, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, and moderator Todd Friel. Here's Todd.
Gentlemen, what I'd like to do by way of rubber meeting the road here is I want to share with you some of the objections to this teaching, some of the objection to this conference, because I suspect these things will be some of the things that we hear if we go back and try to incorporate these or bring these things back. So these were some of the comments that were made prior to the conference and even during the conference through some tweeting, and I suspect these might be things that you also hear. Some people have been tweeting based on some of the things that we saw with people writhing on the floor, the repetitive music, some of the things that seem to most of us to be pretty outstanding, that those are simply the fringe elements of the charismatic movement. That is not who we are. Therefore, knock it off.
Yeah, you know, part of what the Strange Fire book talks about is that what people think is the fringe has actually become mainstream. And we talk about 120 million charismatic Catholics. We talk about 25 million oneness Pentecostals. John T. Allen, in his book Future Church, talks about the fact, it's based on the Pew Forum research, that upwards of 90%, in some cases more than 90%, of all Pentecostals in most countries around the world believe in the prosperity gospel. So when you just do the simple math, this is hundreds of millions of people who hold to a false gospel. It is the majority of the movement.
So, but we don't do that. We're not falling on the ground. We're not trembling and kundalini-ing. So this has nothing to do with me. What do we say?
But here's the problem. You're not doing it in your church, but your kids are listening to the Jesus Culture music. So when Jesus Culture comes into the 16,000-seat deal and they go, they are falling down. And they are doing that, and they're beginning to see those behaviors and join the mosh pit kind of mentality. And then it eventually simply imports itself back into the church. You have to draw the line before you get to the entry point, I think, or you end up allowing that kind of behavior.
Let me, if I could, have the AV department cue up clip number 23. Remember, Jesus Culture, it is a ministry of Bethel Church in Redding, California. The senior pastor, he's just passed the torch to his son, and now he's, I think, considered the international ambassador apostle, Bill Johnson. But this is clip 23. This is the church that they come out of and the type of teaching then that the kids find. This is Bill Johnson.
Not everything that comes at us is gospel. We have confusion. One of our biggest areas of confusion in the church is concerning the sovereignty of God. We know that God is all-powerful. We know that he is in charge of everything. But with that, we make a mistake in thinking he is in control of everything. Ooh. There's a difference. from being in charge, being in control.
Yeesh.
If you think he is in control of everything, then you have to believe that Hitler was his will, that he was just going to work it for his purposes.
No, that's not all that subtle, frankly. But that is just a little snippet of Bill Johnson.
Did you notice the absence of the Bible?
Yes.
This is Bill Johnson.
Right.
Bill Johnson.
All right. Okay, let me share some more of the objections that I would like to share with you. Hearing from God is not new revelation. You keep saying I should tack it on the book of Revelation. Hearing from God is not new revelation. Your response?
Well, Wayne Grudem says it is. So they define it as new revelation, and they will call it revelation from God. So to say that it's not would be a cessationist way of speaking, but the charismatics themselves actually do refer to it as revelation from God. And they'll say that the revelation is perfect, but then that the human instrument messes it up. The problem is, in Deuteronomy 18 and all throughout Scripture, those who speak on God's behalf are required to relay that revelation accurately. If they distort it, they come under the condemnation of God's own requirements for those who speak on his behalf.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we would say to them, if God is talking to you, that is indeed revelation. All right? Okay, any other?
Well, yeah. What else would it be? What if this is God giving you information, by definition, that is revelation from God. And if it's to you now, it's new revelation.
Right.
And this is the folly of this movement. And then to say that it's okay for us to mess it up, right? It's okay for us to clobber it and misrepresent it because we're fallible and it's fallible and God somehow works it out anyway, is, as we heard and we've heard several times, is to completely turn the idea of God's revelation on its head. But of course it's new revelation. What is so bizarre about it is there is no way to verify it. There is no way.
Right.
And just because it isn't heresy, we're supposed to say it's new revelation. If it's not heresy, it's new revelation. But all things that God has deemed for us to know for life and godliness are already on the pages of Holy Scripture, and no new revelation is required or allowed.
People will say that, come on, we're talking about 500 million people here. I see good fruit coming out of people. They really do love the Lord. You're telling me this entire movement is condemned to hell. Everybody is wrong. We'll show you the fruit. There's good fruit there. Don't you see it? Quit critiquing.
Yeah, well, I think the difficulty there is basically that you are putting the cart before the horse. I mean, Roman Catholicism will show you some good fruit, especially out in Africa at a social level. They've put up schools, they've put up hospitals, which have benefited, you know, entire nations. But that does not therefore mean that Roman Catholicism is correct. And again, they are in their millions. So we need to always begin with what does the Bible say? Begin from that foundation. And then you have your therefore, what should be a consequence of that? And that's where the error is. It's the fact that the Bible is very clear that with the foundation laid, the generations succeeding that are to expound the teaching that was brought forth in an extraordinary way through those foundational teachers, the apostles and New Testament prophets. Now, that's straightforward. Anybody, therefore, who begins to bring in another approach, wanting to lengthen that, is opening a door, a dangerous door, where in due season, the kind of things we've talked about here begin to be common fare. It becomes the regular diet. Those of you who've been exposed to regular teaching of God's word, you were sighing and groaning when you were hearing some of the things being said. A lot of the people who were sitting listening to some of these things, to them that's it. It's life. After all, my teacher is the one who's teaching this. It must be correct. So I think let's always keep getting back to the basic principle. And it's not so much there's some good being done, look at it. It is what saith the scriptures.
Phil?
Yeah, let me say this about good fruit, too. You can't always tell at first glance what's truly good fruit. I bought a bag of peaches just last month. When I got it home, these are great-looking peaches. Cut them open. Every one of them was rotting from the seed out. I think they'd been frozen or something. Spiritual fruit is the same way. Sometimes it looks good, but you have to analyze it. And what the real test of good fruit is the underlying core of teaching. That's what Conrad was saying. If it's not based on and centered on the truth, if the truth isn't built into it, it's not really good fruit.
You're listening to Grace to You with John MacArthur. You're hearing a panel discussion from the Strange Fire Conference, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Nathan Busnitz, Conrad Mbewe, and moderator Todd Friel. Back to the panel.
One of the critiques prior to the conference, and I'm sure after the conference, and it might be one that we... let me just clarify this first, because I just want to make sure I've got this right. You're a cessationist, is that correct? Okay, so what they will say is, you cessationists have no business making any sort of critiques about charismatics who are continuationists. This is not your house. You stay in your own house. Don't try to clean up ours. It's none of your business.
Well, I've lived that. I mean, we live within 5 miles of the kind of Pentecostal Mecca in this area. We've had parallel years since I came here with that. And the conversations that I've had sound like this. God has blessed John MacArthur. Imagine what God could do with him if he had the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
I've heard that for years here. I've heard that for years. He's not equipped to critique this movement because he's void of the Spirit. There's nothing for me to say. It's a frightening world to live in. I don't know how many years ago, a new pastor was appointed to this church, and a prophet came. I think it was a Kansas City prophet, I think, came and laid hands on him, said he's going to be, this new pastor will be the prophet of the world. He's going to do miracles and signs and wonders, and going to spread around the globe. The prophecy took his hands off. He had a brain aneurysm, died.
Oh.
The pastor. I went to the funeral. No, just the,
sorry.
I went to the funeral. I said, what's going on? And the person that I spoke with, I was there for the funeral just out of respect and love for some of the folks there. I said, what's going on? He said, well, the prophecy was true, so the devil killed him. You know, you'd like them to believe that we have the Holy Spirit here because it's true, all of us in Christ. But their perceptions are that far off. In other words, they not only misunderstand us, they misunderstand their own situation.
Yeah.
So it's impossible apart from them coming to a biblical understanding.
By the way, if you ever try to use this as a tactic to state, you know, why is it that certainly there's got to be some believers in this assembly? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit show up in those ways in this community? And the response will be because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he is not going to come barging in where he's not invited. So that's why we don't act the way that they act because, yeah, we're saved, I guess, but the Holy Spirit is invited. That's why it doesn't happen. Now,
yeah, that fits the control that supposedly the believer has over the powers, over the demonic powers and even over the Holy Spirit. Like Benny Hinn, you know, he doesn't do anything until I say so.
Right, right.
You know, if the best charismatics, those who really do have a concern about the authority of Scripture, were actually critiquing their own movement and sounding an adequate alarm to the people who follow them, we wouldn't have had this conference. But somebody needs to say this.
I would like to try. We're going to have to kind of represent some of our friends. We would say that John Piper is a brother. We would say that Wayne Grudem is a brother. We would say, and so these are some biblical scholars that many of us perhaps have read and loved for years who are saying some things that are causing us to scratch our heads. Wayne Grudem, I don't know that there's anybody in here who doesn't have a systematic theology on their bookshelf. John Piper, we have all loved so much of his preaching. What do we do with these men?
I think it's important to critique honestly. Now, I did, as a matter of fact, respond yesterday in my breakout session. I had a couple of people come up to me afterwards and say, well, then, because I also said, look, I love John Piper. I've benefited from him. I've learned things from him. I'm not prepared to throw him out completely. And they said, no, you should. You just should. And my response to that is the times in which we are living are the theological parallel to the book of Judges, where every man does what's right in his own eyes. And there isn't a consistent voice. There's no king in Israel. There's no consistent voice in the church that you know, sort of polices all that stuff. Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, and it's not even considered politically correct to sit in a venue like this and say, this is wrong. That's automatically deemed unkind, uncharitable, unloving. You can't disagree anymore. So everybody can say what they want. In a time when every man does what's right in his own eyes, and nobody is willing to speak with a voice of clarity and say, that's wrong, you're going to have men, lots of men, in whom there's lots of good and some bad. And the question I always ask people who say that, what would you say about Samson? Would you say he's a good guy, you should follow him? And most of us would say, I think, no, Samson made a wreck of his life, and yet he's in Hebrews 11. And I think the same thing about a lot of these men. Despite what I would criticize and disagree with them, they're men of faith, and I think that deserves to be recognized.
You know, I think that is, with somebody like John Piper, that is a complete anomaly. That is just so off everything else about him. I'm not talking about percentages. We ask ourselves, it's not that he speaks in tongues. It's not that he prophesies. He has admitted that. It's just that there's this anomaly in his mind that is open to that. And that's the way he's always stated that he's open to that. He's open to that. He's even made statements like, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know exactly what to think about all of this. So that's far cry from the propagation side of it. And so I look at this with him and even with Wayne Grudem, who's made such immense contributions in so many ways, as an anomaly. And I don't know, nor do I need to know where the impulse for this comes from, where the influence comes from. Sometimes it comes from family. Sometimes it comes from a spouse. We see that. We understand that. I don't know where these influences come from. But I do know the great body of work that John Piper has done is true to the faith. And John is a friend whom I not only admire, but whom I love. And I don't know why on this front he has that open idea, but it is not an advocacy position for the movement, and he would join us in decrying the excesses of that movement for sure, and even the theology of it. So I think if we start shutting everybody down who's got one thing they're not clear on, or we're going to really find ourselves alone. And that's going too far. I have no fear that John would ever tamper with anything that is essential to the Christian faith, starting from theology proper all the way through to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be faithful to the Word of God as he understands it in a historical sense. But I fully embrace the range of his commitment and the impact of his ministry. So I think at this point, this is where love comes in to embrace faithful men. And then when I look at myself, I say, look, I know I'm wrong somewhere. And if you can show me where, please show me, because I would change. But I know somewhere I'm wrong, because none of us has a complete control of all truth. And I hope to have the same charity from them that I would eagerly extend to them.
So if I hear a pastor say, reading from John Piper's work, I don't have to think that the pastor's tainted or a heretic because he quoted John Piper, who said on a YouTube video something about speaking in tongues.
No, but I wish they would see that they don't need to be unclear about this issue, because the lack of clarity on this issue has given room to this movement. These guys give credibility to this movement by even allowing for it.
All right. As we close, gentlemen, what I'd like to do, and Phil, we'll start with you and make our way and try to keep this tight. We're going to leave here, and I suspect almost everybody is thinking about something in their church, a family member, their mom, and they're wondering just how to go about and what to do with all of this. Whatever the scenario is, they're going back and they're going to be addressing and confronting these issues. You would give them one piece of advice, one suggestion, and then we'll let you apply it as you see fit. Phil, what would it be?
It would be immerse yourself in the Word of God. You know, you don't have to take my word for it. And I don't ask people to change their minds the first time they hear me teach on something. Be like a Berean. Study the Word for yourself. And if you can coax your charismatic friends to really, truly devote themselves to finding out what does Scripture teach about this, then you're miles ahead. And they're on their way to abandoning some of these extremes.
Nathan.
Yeah, celebrate the true work of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow the charismatic movement to replace a celebration of the true work of the Holy Spirit with counterfeits. The true work of the Holy Spirit is His work in salvation, His work in illumination of the Scriptures. And listen, when we go to the Word of God, we are sitting at the feet of the author of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who has given us this book. So to go to the Scriptures is to go to the Spirit.
Conrad.
I think basically what's already been said, sola scriptura, keep that in mind. That's the foundation, everything else, pillars, and you have the roof on top. But always remember the Scriptures. If any contradicts the Scriptures, there is no light or life in them.
And you can personalize that a little bit. I think you need to say to people, show me from the Word of God why you believe that. Let's talk about that. I think if you pounce with all your Bible verses, you put them on defense. But if you ask them to explain to you from the Word of God why they believe what they believe and start the discussion, you can lead them into the Scripture. I think they live with assumptions that have never been proven even to their own minds. So put the burden on them. The burden lies with them to prove their point. And I think if they're not willing to do that, if they're disinterested in that, if that's too much trouble or too much effort for them, then they need to face the absence of integrity in denying you that. So I'd put the burden on them, encourage them. You want to understand why they believe what they believe, and you'd like them to show you why they believe that from Scripture and then be willing to discuss that with you.
You've been listening to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Bill Wright, filling in for Carl Miller. You've just sat in on a question and answer session recorded during last month's Strange Fire Conference. The panel included John and other keynote speakers from the three-day event. Now, John, as you join listeners from the studio, were you to ask 10 people, how does God speak to His people today, you'd likely hear 10 different answers. There's no universal agreement. In fact, far from it. What is clear is that how you answer that question will determine much of your Christian life, from what you believe to how you worship.
Yeah, that's a very important question. How does God speak to us today? There are people floating around listening for the voice of God. There are seminars where you can go and be told and somehow trained to listen for the voice of God. I hear preachers, well-known preachers, evangelical preachers on television, saying you've got to listen for the voice of God. I don't know what they expect people to do. If you want to hear the voice of God, let me tell you how. Read the Bible. That's where you'll hear the voice of God. Anything else, you have no idea whether it's the voice of God or your own tuition or your own ideas or worse. And hearing the voice of God from the Scripture is how you become discerning. If you're listening to for the voice of God beyond Scripture, if God is still speaking, then He's not through speaking. We don't have a complete revelation in the Bible. We're missing some parts. That would make the Christian life really difficult if we didn't have everything that He wanted us to have. That is a very important issue addressed in the new book, Strange Fire. In fact, we nail that issue down. In the book Strange Fire, subtitled The Danger of Offending the Holy Spirit with Counterfeit Worship, nothing is more important than knowing where God has spoken. You can't be listening in open space between your ears for the voice of God. Does He lead? Sure. But His revelation is in His Word. You need a copy of the book, Strange Fire. Order it today. That and all the other matters that come up in the charismatic movement and need to be addressed are covered in this very thorough and readable book titled Strange Fire.
Whether you, a friend, or someone in your church has questions about the charismatic movement and the true work of the Holy Spirit, I urge you to pick up John's new book, Strange Fire. Order a copy or two today. Call 1-800-55-GRACE or go to gty.org to get your copy of Strange Fire. The price is $15 and shipping's free. Also, keep in mind, the audio and video from the conference is available at our website, gty.org. You can purchase all 19 sessions in CD or DVD format at a deeply discounted price. Or download the sessions in video, audio, or transcript format, all free of charge. Just look for the Strange Fire audio or video series at gty.org. And friend, if it's been a while since you've expressed what John's verse-by-verse Bible teaching means to you and your family, send us a note today, won't you? For regular mail, write to Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or email letters at gty.org. Be sure to mention this radio station when you get in touch. Now for John MacArthur, I'm your host, Bill Wright, filling in for Carl Miller this week. Remember, you can watch Grace to You television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378 or on Sky Angel Channel 126. It's also available at gty.org. And be here tomorrow when John continues unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on Grace to You. Why critique the charismatic movement, or for that matter, any movement that professes the name of Christ? Get answers as we continue airing highlights from last month's Strange Fire Conference on Grace to You.